Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to be together this morning. Thank you for all of the precious people who have gathered out here on this breezy, cold winter day. But Lord, this is the day the Lord hath made. Hallelujah. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. We're thankful, Lord, that we can rejoice in the fact that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that you've renewed our minds, that we can receive the truth of God's Word. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts through your Word. And Lord, if there's a soul here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord, I pray that this day would not pass without their surrendering to Christ. I pray that you'd sanctify hearts and lives. You'd fill people with the Holy Ghost and fire. Lord, you'd help us this morning to see the healing power of the Lord manifested among your people. And I pray that the works of the Lord would be made manifest in the midst of God's people, and your name glorified by it. And we'll give you the praise and honor, Father. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach this morning for a few minutes on the temptation of Jesus. The temptation of Jesus occurred immediately after the baptism of Jesus. But before Jesus preached his first sermon, and before he performed his first miracle, he must pass through the most severe test of his life. At his baptism, Jesus had committed himself to the kingdom work that God had prescribed for him, and he had committed himself to be the sacrifice for the souls of men. A ransom for the souls of men. You understand that Jesus did not have any sins to be cleansed. He had no repentance to be made. John was baptizing with the baptism of repentance, but Jesus came to be baptized of him, not because he needed to repent of sin, but Jesus was identifying with sinners. He was numbered among the transgressors. And that baptism in water, going down in that water signified death. Coming up out of that water signified resurrection. And when Jesus submitted himself to the baptism in water by John the Baptist, he said to him, Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And when Jesus went down in that water and come up out of that water, it was a statement by Jesus that he accepted the path that his Father had set for him, that he was willing to go to the cross and willing to pay the ransom for men's souls. Jesus was making a statement. He was numbered among the transgressors. And now then, he is in the wilderness to be tempted. That commitment that he had made at his baptism, that commitment is going to be tested by Satan in the wilderness. And I want you to know that every child of God that has made a commitment to Christ, that commitment that you have made to God and to the will of God is going to be tested. Christ was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And every child of God is going to have their wilderness experience. The children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years. Jesus will be in the wilderness for 40 days. And the children of Israel faced temptation in the wilderness for 40 years. They failed God. But now Jesus, who is the perfect specimen of a Jew, of a man, of an Israelite, is there in the wilderness to face the temptation of the devil. His commitment is going to be tested. Your commitment to Christ is going to be tested. At some point, after you've made your commitment to Jesus, I promise you that the devil will come around to test your commitment to Christ. Now, this is not the first temptation that Jesus has ever faced. He's 30 years old. He's obviously been through many temptations prior to this time, but this is the most severe temptation that Jesus has faced until this moment. And you understand that the devil did not hunt Jesus down to give him this temptation, but Jesus was led by the Spirit into conflict with Satan. And just like Jesus pointed his disciples, go this way, go across the sea. And he pointed them right into a storm. The Spirit has led Jesus right into a storm. There is a reason for this conflict. Jesus is now in the wilderness, led by the Spirit there to be confronted by the devil. The fate of the human race hangs in the balances in this wilderness. And because the stakes are so high and the fate of the whole human race is hanging in the balances here, if Jesus fails, the whole human race perishes. If Jesus succeeds, we have hope. But if he does not succeed, nobody has any hope. Everybody perishes if Jesus fails in the wilderness. And so the stakes are so high that the devil does not send a deputy into the wilderness. He goes himself. There's no lesser demon sent into this battle. Satan comes himself to confront Jesus in the wilderness. And so the fate of the human race is hanging in the balances here in the wilderness. We had been defeated because of Adam's failure in the garden. We had been constituted sinners by the disobedience of Adam. But now Jesus is called the last Adam, and he is our only hope of escaping the disordered and miserable state of sin. And so I'm telling you, can you understand? Do you see what's hinging on this battle that's about to take place in the wilderness? Brother, I want to say this about, I'm trying to apply this to your life as well. I want you to understand that when you are in the battle, when you are under the test, there's more hinges on your obedience than you realize. The whole human race hinged on Jesus' obedience here. And everybody that faces the test of Satan, there's more that hinges on whether you pass that test or not than you realize. It's not just you that's going to be affected by what happens in that test. There are other people going to be affected by whether or not you overcome or whether or not you fail. There is wide-ranging consequences to what happens when you're in the wilderness and you are facing the test. The temptation of Jesus demonstrated several things. It demonstrated the purpose of Satan. It demonstrated the character of Christ. And it demonstrated the defeat of Satan. It demonstrated the purpose of Satan. You understand, when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, the devil was seeking to lure Jesus from the path of God's will. The Spirit had led him into the wilderness. He was a man led by the Spirit. Satan is going to tempt him to act contrary to the leading of the Spirit of God. And he's going to try to lure him from the path of God's will. Young people, are y'all hearing me? This is the devil's purpose. And not just for you young people, but for all of us here. This is what the test is about. Satan wants to lure you from the path of God's will. The ultimate This is what, when we get to the end of the journey, the ultimate question is this: was it God's will or was it your will in life? That's the ultimate question at the end of the journey. Did you do God's will or did you do your will? That's heaven or hell, brother. That question is heaven or hell. Did you do your will or did you do God's will? For it's not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, that shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. This is the expression of our faith in Christ, is our obedience to his will. Here's the purpose of Satan, is to lure us from the path of God's will. But Jesus said, lo, it is written in the volume of the book, I come to do thy will, O God. And he said to his disciples, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. This is what satisfies me. Can you say that? Is this really true of your life? This is what satisfies me, to do the will of my Father. Now, it wasn't just the purpose of Satan to lure Jesus from the path of God's will, but it was the purpose of Satan to destroy the anointing of God in the life of Jesus. For when Jesus was baptized in the river of Jordan, the Spirit of God came upon him and remained upon him. And the Bible tells us that God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost, and he went about doing good. So before Jesus can begin his public ministry, he must be anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost. He will say later on in his ministry that he did his miracles by the power of the Spirit of God. God anointed him. The anointing of God was upon his life. If the devil can get Jesus to fail in the wilderness, he will rob Jesus of that anointing upon his life. And brother, understand that in the life of every child of God, it is important that the anointing of God be upon us. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The anointing of God was what made the difference between a cowardly Peter and a bold preacher in the book of Acts. It was the anointing of God that transformed these men into men that turned the world upside down. And it is the anointing of God that's going to make the difference in our life, the power of the Holy Ghost in us. And if the devil can get us to fail, if he can tempt us and get us out of the will of God and rob us of the anointing of God in our life, brother, he will make us ineffective as the people of God. We must have the anointing of God in our life. I want to tell you something, brother. It's not worth it to me, you know, to enjoy the pleasures of this world and lose the anointing of God. Some of you had rather have the pleasures of sin than to have the anointing of God. Some of you would rather spend your time with Hollywood than to spend your time with God.